the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. A new priest was called to his first church, and he was swamped from the start. In 4 weeks, he did 8 funerals and 3 weddings, and he didn't have time to write sermons. So he used the sermon that he preached for the first Sunday 3 more times. The vestry was not happy. They went to the bishop, and they told the bishop that their new priest had preached the same sermon 4 Sundays in a row. And the bishop said, "Well, what was the sermon about?" They hemmed and hawed and finally shrugged their shoulders. They couldn't remember what the sermon was about. So the bishop said, "Well, apparently he needs to preach it one more time." Maybe you won't have to hear this sermon more than once. As many of you know, my husband Glenn passed away in February. I'm grateful that it was a peaceful passing. The doctor said his body had worn out, and that was certainly true. There were many hospital admissions and admissions to our health care center at Westminster Canterbury. The 2 memorial services, one of them here, were blessings, each one a time out of time with family and friends. And I have been blessed by you with cards and hugs and kind words and memorial donations to the foundation where I live. At the time of Glenn's death, I expected, well, I'm not sure what I expected. I had read about the moment when life leaves the body that this time creates what we call a thin place, a place where heaven and earth are close together. 2 months have gone since Glenn's death. Today's gospel says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life." When I read that, I like to think that Glenn must have heard God's voice calling him while he was in that bed in the emergency room at Virginia Beach General. He was not, as some of you know, a churchgoer. I also know that God's love and redemption does not depend on what we have done and what we have not done. It is not about earning eternal life. Grace is promised to all of us. Jesus said, again in today's gospel, "No one can snatch my sheep out of my hand." Who can hear the voice of God? Small children, I believe, can hear the voice of God perhaps better than those of us who are far from that early time when we were children and new to the earth, not so long from God. I believed this about my own children, and I've read accounts of this many times. There's a story many of you have heard about the 3-year-old standing over his newborn sister's crib saying, "Tell me about God, I keep forgetting." Jesus knew that children had not yet been shopworn and tarnished by the things of this world, because as children there are fewer temporal things to cloud our vision. "My sheep hear my voice." A Lutheran minister who was a chaplain reported seeing a 2-year-old in the hospital with pneumonia. She was sitting up in her crib, hooked up to IV tubes and a pulse oximeter on her big toe. And she was singing her own song, a tune mixed with jumbled words, no less beautiful. Maybe, the chaplain thought, she was hearing the shepherd's voice. That voice is not loud. It does not interrupt our daily grind. But, like children, maybe we can hear it more clearly when we are worried or afraid or sick, as Glenn was. God's voice can be especially cherished in times of struggle and pain and weakness. As it says in Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I like to think that God's voice is always there, that still, small voice. I don't always hear it, but I'm sometimes reminded of its presence. When I was younger, I had a tendency to avoid painful situations, starting with my parents' divorce when I was 14. When we don't know any better, our tendency is to run away from anything that causes pain or fear. My time was taken up with avoiding any crisis or incident that might cause me pain. Getting into this avoidance spiral takes a lot of energy and time, and I know there were opportunities I missed. It takes a lot of effort to avoid fear and pain. With the help of others and the grace of God, I was finally able to give up that fear. Recently, though, I was reminded, briefly, thanks be to God, of what that fear used to feel like. I believe now, truly, that although God did not deliver me from the storm of fear and pain when I was young, God did deliver me through the storm, as God is, even now, delivering me and perhaps delivering you. Whatever shape my grief will take, I must pray to be in it, to experience it fully with God's help. I have to be willing not to sidestep my fear and grief, but walk through it. Jesus did not promise there would be no storms. What Jesus has promised is that we can weather them. We make choices every day. Some things are out of our control, but wisdom will guide us to identify what we can control and what we cannot, so that we can use our time in a way that reflects our willingness to move forward with God's help, especially through those things we cannot control. The death of someone we love, with whom we have shared our life, is truly beyond our control. Dealing with that death and finding redemption and peace is something we can work toward with God's help. We are also called to be present with others in their need. Do you remember the story of the 4-year-old boy whose neighbor was an elderly man? The man had lost his wife recently, and he was sitting in his lawn chair crying. So the little boy went next door and climbed into his lap. When the little boy got home, his mother asked him, "What did you say to him?" "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." There's wisdom in this kind of innocence. This little boy saw what was important, and it wasn't words. It was presence. We can be present to someone in need without saying anything. We don't have to be clever or good with words. We don't have to try to fix someone who is sad and grieving. We can just be with them to witness and share their grief. Many friends have been present for me, and I thank God for them. I thank God for you. I pray that I can also be present for someone who is grieving. And so this sermon is not so much about Glenn, who I believe has heard his shepherd's voice and is safe in the fold. This sermon is about people like me and you who are still listening for the voice of the shepherd, listening for God's still small voice, listening and praying for guidance. From Romans 8, I am reminded that nothing, not even death, can separate us from God. Nothing. Not even a bottomless pit of grief can keep love away, because God enters our grief, our pain, our fear. It is love that God instills in us, in our very bones. It is God's love that heals us. And in celebration of the resurrection, I am called to see the face of God in everyone I meet. There is a banner in the chapel at Chanco on the James, our retreat center, and it says, "He came singing love. He lived singing love. He died singing love. He rose in silence." If the song is to continue, We must do the singing. Amen.